Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone you gather. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
Born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Do you love your sister? I do. Bless you. Welcome again to another show, Sister. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley. Born and raised right here in Lafayette, Tennessee. Why do we say Lafayette? Because there's no capital F. Sister Sakina, there's no capital F, there's no Lafayette, but my shepherd and I have had interesting dialogue for years about it, and shepherd says Lafayette, so I say Lafayette, hallelujah, just a little inside joke between me and him. Welcome all of you, bless you, hallelujah, those who run for your lives, those who pray, those who serve and love your husbands, those who are ridding themselves and allowing Yah to purge them of hypocrisy, lies, deceit, jealousies, hallelujah, purging all iniquity before he returns. I'm in Tennessee. Let's jump to Georgia, get a sound check. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. How are you?
Shalom, and bless you, Sister Ashley. It's really good to be here tonight with all of you for another episode of Sister to Sister. It was great to listen in last week and to actually be ministered to. So I really appreciated being able to do that. I appreciated being with our beloved sisters in Goshen, and I'm just happy to be here. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Please take a moment to catch me up on Georgia. How is everyone? How's Elder? How's my family there?
Sister Ashley, Georgia is growing. Georgia is growing. Georgia is doing really well. We have a lot of progress taking place with the multi-purpose building. I don't know if many of you follow Elder Rufus's channel, but he's been putting updates on there. We have Mama Jaja's home that has been completed, pretty much about 95% of the way completed. We have more property that was purchased down the road from the main land, and then we have property that was purchased across the street. And it's interesting, as soon as all that property was purchased, we have twice as many people showing up every week for Sabbath, and even more wanting to come visit and wanting to move around the community. So you can tell that Yah is really moving on the hearts of the people, really moving them to get out of the cities. And I want to say that the people that have shown up, they have such beautiful spirits. They are so willing, so ready to serve, so ready to learn, and it's very refreshing to just have them here. It's almost like they've been here all along, and they mix really well. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. It is making more and more sense, and things are becoming very, very clear why you guys had to remain there, stay there, take root there. We never doubted anyway. We always trust and believe, but I pray Yah will continue to add as he sees fit and add the righteous, save the righteous, spare the righteous. I thank the Most High for his mercy. I am before you again another week later without the beloved father of the faith, my father and our shepherd's dad. Gosh, I've known Dad Dow, you know, from day one, and he was an amazing man. I acknowledge the Father for each of us knowing him, walking with him, hearing him sing, hearing him laugh. I, too, was amazed, as Mother Carol brought up and said initially, she said it first, but just how forgiving he was. You know, if you've ever been rebuked by a dad or a father, and then 5 minutes later he's laughing and he's over it, and, you know, he just never held on to any fleshly emotion. He was just that forgiving and forgetting. It was just amazing to see. But we did bury one of our fathers in the faith, our beloved Dad Dow, yesterday. It was a beautiful, beautiful time. Thanks to everyone who honored us from a distance. We haven't even had a call today that was granted honor to Pastor, who follows him on YouTube. Just wanted to send his condolences. It was very kind. So I know those of you who are listening and have compassion and care in your hearts, thank you. Thank you for lifting him up and praying for him when he fought for his life. And his fight's over. You know, he kept the faith. He forgave instantly. He loved genuinely. I personally, and I'm in my acknowledgments, Mother Jennifer, because I just glorify the Father for knowing the people in my life, how impacting they've been, and how I wouldn't want to, wouldn't want to change anything. I do not anticipate my life. I do not desire to anticipate what my life would be like without the aged influences that I have around me, as they slowly will or potentially may cross over before me. And I'm assuming, Mother Jennifer, that we, being of younger age, we can't be presumptuous by any means, but I'm assuming that I'll witness more deaths of those who I really, really love. And I'm very convinced that the generation behind me is not worthy of the gemstones that surround me. So, you know, some of them being Mother Muncie, Elder Becker, Diane Becker, Granny Barb, Mother Carol, of course, our beloved pastor. I could go on, but I can only hope that the King returns in my own world, of course, so that I don't experience the pain of loss or losing those people. And, of course, my beloved husband. But nevertheless, we will all experience death. It's already written. Our lives already have an end, and the day and time is already known. I'm just trying to gain as much mercy as I can before I get there. So I bless the Most High, Yah, for fear, for righteous fear. I don't take these people in my life for granted, Mother Jennifer, you, Georgia, everyone I meet in the faith and in the way. I don't take them for granted, believe it or not. I love my neighbors as myself, and I've watched their manner of commitment to the Most High, and it sets a really high standard before me. I will not be moved by this world and its fleshly temptations. It's appointed unto all men to die one time, and I pray that each of you listening will fight with all your beings to love, and love while you have a chance. Hallelujah, that you may reap mercy in the end. Blessed be the beloved and Most High's name, whose name is above all names, the King of Kings, a mighty, mighty, wonderful creator. Because of him, I have mercy. Because of him, I live and breathe. And tonight, we conversate because he's allowing us to. You called in because he allows you to. And I pray that we just don't take those things for granted. I do want to acknowledge Shepherd and my husband and so many beautiful people in my life. And I just like to take just a small moment and not get too lengthy. But I watched Shepherd love his dad in a way that it can't be expressed in words, nor will I try. But Shepherd had a great love for his father. He had a challenge to love him and to lead him, you know, and find a good balance of doing so. And I saw him conquer that. I just saw him set that example, you know, to honor and never dishonor, but yet lead and help, you know, as being led by the Spirit of Yah. He set a great example. I'm glad to have seen that. So Dad will be greatly missed, in part because of who he was and how he was with us. As I said, his singing voice and the things that he contributed, but also because the initial years of the community and everything that we were together, it'll never be seen again. And I don't mean that in a negative light. I mean it's always evolving. It's becoming something else. It's something new for a purpose. It's a different manifestation of time, and things are constantly moving forward. So right now, you know, early on and early years of the community, it's just a memory for all of us. Because it is so different. There's nothing like that now. So we have a new faces, new hearts, same mind, same spirit, and a wonderful thing going on. I'm glad to be here. I really, really am. So enough of that. Special love, blessings, and abundant honor to my husband. May I always live up to his standard that he's placed in my life and live up to the purpose of being his wife and help meet. For he is deserving. He is selfless. And he's given himself to the brethren, to the body, and to his beloved shepherd, who he would lay down his life for, and he's easy to follow. I'm very, very thankful to spend my life on this earth with my husband. Mother Jennifer, I'm always encouraged. I'm always thankful. I'm thankful to be alive and to be given a chance to just call upon the name of the Most High Yah. I am, Mother Jennifer, in constant prayer. I'm in constant prayer for you guys in Georgia. I'm in constant prayer for the communities and the women of the ministry. And I know other praying women. And I just love our bond. You know, I love our bond of the praying sisters in the ministry. I pray that you too, or each of you, are pulling your part. Even if it's just constant repentance, if that's where you're at, I pray that's what you're doing, not only just for your soul, for on behalf of all of Israel. I pray that we're staying on our face and being devoted to prayer as we've been called to. And hallelujah. Love you all dearly. As I said, another week later, November 19th, 6:15 p.m., hallelujah, we're here again. Mother Jennifer, what's on your heart?
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, bless you. And I just want to first acknowledge the Most High Yah for keeping us during this interesting dead season, where he is truly gathering us to himself and, putting us in a position to truly seek him to seek him like never before. I am so honored to belong to him, to understand that I am his possession, that I don't belong to myself, that I don't belong to this world. You know, even in the midst of chaos taking place and things changing rapidly and things going on, and, you know, you can see that, you know, the word is coming to life even more every day. You know, Yahweh never changes, and that is such a comfort in my heart here. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for the load that he carries every single day. You know, he carries a heavy load, never has a complaint in his heart ever. His motivation is always love for Yah first and foremost, and love for Yah's people. And he always remembers the time that he spent looking for Yah's people. And he always reminds us of that. You know, he always says, I spent years looking for Yah's people. I spent years looking for this, and now I finally have it. And so he always has such a great perspective in his heart and in his mind that Yah has granted him exactly what he has looked for. And if it wasn't for him, I would not be here in the faith. So I just want to say that I'm so grateful to have a man of Yah that truly understands and knows how to hear the voice of Yah and how to lead his family in righteousness. And I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for his labor for Yah's people. I want to acknowledge and just extend our condolences from Georgia to Pastor Dow and to his family and to the entire Straightway community upon you know, the crossing over of Dad Dow. And, you know, bless you for your faithfulness in honoring and serving the Father by the love and the honor that you all showed to Dad Dow. I'll never, ever forget his hearty laugh, and I'll never forget his pure praise for Yah. I'll never forget his genuine love that he displayed for his children, his grandchildren, and even beyond. And, you know, I remember the Berean moment when Pastor, when Dad Dow spoke so highly of Pastor Dow, you know, and he spoke the truth about our shepherd, and it was really it was nice to really hear a testimony from a father of his son, and it was such a pure testimony. He's always he talked about how pastors always had such a heart for Yah, such a heart for the Father. You know, he said that he was not a problem child at all, that he was different, that he knew that he was different, even very young, at such a young age. So I just want to thank you all for allowing us to be able to peer into that part of Pastor's life through Dad Dow. And it really meant a lot to all of us who didn't know Dad Dow from the time that he stepped foot on the land, you know, from the very, very beginning. So bless you, Pastor, and all of your family and all of Straightway. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Homeschool is going wonderful. Community is great. I don't know. Everything is going exactly as Yah planned. Being a wife is wonderful. You know, I really, really enjoy Mother Jennifer. I really enjoy aging. It's been a very beautiful process for me. And I want to say that and put that into the air because maybe young women don't see anyone enjoying age. Maybe they don't hear it, but it's there. You know, late 30s for me, my 30s have been absolutely wonderful because I've been with the Father. And I just don't believe age is supposed to be feared or dreaded. You know, neither do I believe death should be feared or dreaded. So as you hear things, you know, a little caveat, be careful how you hear. You know, that's a part of our show. Be careful how you hear. You can always hear something within our show that's going to make you better if you apply it to your life. Thank you very much, by the way. Sakina's in here helping me out. We'll find something on the online.
you can always hear something and apply something and be better at it, get better at it, change your thinking, whatever your requirement is, not to become someone else that you see in front of you, but to become a better version of you. You know, that's the goal. And for an aging for me has done that because of the mercy of my Creator and the blood of His Son. So any announcements, Mother Jennifer?
I have no announcements, Sister Ashley. I know we've got a wedding coming up, December 13th, and we've been told to contact the dining hall if we would like to attend, and you have to get permission to actually come. So I think we need to go ahead and call in so that everybody can do what needs to be done behind the scenes logistically. This is the second time that Pastor has actually mentioned that. So, yeah, very exciting. We have an exciting wedding coming up December 13th. So, as our shepherd has said, if you desire to attend, please contact the dining hall so that you can get your name in the book.
Hallelujah. I carry around with me, literally in my purse, the layout of the special guest seating and the menu and everything that's, you know, so I pull it out every once in a while, look at it, write something down if I need to, and menu is going to be great. The guest, you know, you're welcome. If you've been invited, if you've been accepted, let us know so we can feed you. What are you eating? I'm not going to tell you. Okay, I'll tell you chicken. That's it. You're going to eat chicken. I'll tell you that part. But, yeah, really, really, you know, it's just wonderful. It's wonderful to be a part of two upright people joining their union together. I can't say enough. So thank you to Georgia, to those who poured into her, Mom Shandre, and Elder Rufus, Mother Jennifer, everyone who poured into Tia, Hadassah for teaching her, et cetera. She's been a great, great benefit. Sister Nicola, you're on my heart. Bless you. And tonight, hey, there's never a desire to waste any of your time or keep you long. I'm always going to remind you of that. And so tonight, just a dialogue. You, Mother Jennifer, you know, let's do it like this. If I call you up or you call me up and we're off air, you know, because we do not talk a lot. What's our conversation like? Let's kick it off tonight as if it's me and you. You know, we really go in. And don't hold back when we're talking privately. So can you lead our conversation tonight?
Sure, absolutely. I can say, Sister Ashley, that when we talk, we don't talk about foolish things at all. We don't waste one another's time. We understand that Yah is present in the midst of our conversation, and we always keep our conversation on holy matters. So we don't talk about things that are frivolous, things that don't even count, that don't even matter. You know, our phone calls are really spent testifying of the goodness of the Most High and building one another up. Sister Ashley?
Yes, and today we had a great conversation. Will you pull up the email? Pull up the email, Mother Jennifer. Be ready to read it. I think we'll just read that first. We had a great email, great testimony to share for you all. The way that we talk behind the scenes is it's never about someone. It's never gossiping. It's never slander. It's never ill will or evil intention. It's always to make one another better or to, you know, encourage our day, to leave one another with something to think on, to, you know, I encourage you to, you know, promote the same healthy relationships behind the scenes. Her being a mother, never jeopardizing her reputation, her husband's name or their reputation, never giving information that she shouldn't. Same here, you know, speaking with fear. When you're supportive or a helpmeet to a man that is potentially, you know, like hers, a decision maker, mine, a deacon, a great servant and follower, you know, you don't ever want to sway them. So your conversation's it's very molded by the Father. You're not loose in your speech with them, so you know you're not going to be with anyone else. I encourage you all to do as we do, change the subject on you, purchase cans, purchase what you can now, get some stuff on your shelf, do what you can, don't worry about what you can't, make no excuses to be prepared for what's coming. We've been hearing the warning for a while, but no worries. You know, they warned that it was going to flood for 120 years, and the raindrop finally hit. So no doubt it's coming, and the boat is rocking. So I pray that you are being as prepared as you possibly can, first and foremost, in spirit. A special love and thank you and blessings to Pastor's home, immediate family, everyone who supports him and is behind him. Bless you, Summer. Miss you temporarily. And bless you, Mama Nelly. So let's read an email. My sisters, when you have given up anything, each of your hearts will have your own testimony of the pain of your trial, the pain of your sacrifice, or what you're giving up. But I wonder if you've ever thought about what someone else has had to give up. And in the faith, in the way we try to share stories and teach each of you to consider one another as yourself, not to be so self-absorbed with the pain of your circumstance when everyone that has committed their life unto the Father is being purged and everyone is meeting his requirement, those that are righteous. So it'll help you get out of self when you can hear testimonies of someone and what they've been through and how they were strengthened and how they made it. And it'll stop you from making internal excuses. And so this is a great testimony. I don't think we've ever mentioned smoking marijuana on this show as far as, you know, very detailed or shared testimonies. There's probably tens or hundreds of people within the ministry that were bound by some form of addiction, whether to food, drugs, alcohol, substance abuse, or whatever that avenue, and stories are different. And this one is different. It's good, it's powerful, and written very well. Thank you very much to the sister that we won't call your name, but thank you for writing it. It was a request. When I heard the story, it was a request that I asked her to write in. So thank you to everyone involved in that communication. Let's go, Mother Jennifer, read, please.
Okay, this sister says this is her shortened testimony. So she says, back in 2011, my husband and I were introduced to the truth, or rather a version of the truth, through some friends of his who showed us GLCC videos. We then started keeping the seventh-day Sabbath and the commandments as they were taught to us, excuse me, and lined up with the word through GLCC. Over the years, some teachings started to not line up with the word, and I began to feel a lack of fulfillment spiritually, and I knew that there was something spiritually missing, but didn't know what. Eventually, we started to turn away from the GLCC teachings. For a couple of years, my husband did scripture studies with us at home. At some point in 2019, my husband found Pastor Dow's Shabbat videos on YouTube. He had in previous years seen pastors' YouTube videos, but not his Sabbath teachings. In the end of September 2019, my husband had mentioned Pastor Shabbat teaching videos and then let us, his children and myself, know that we are going to follow Pastor Dow's teachings on the Shabbat. The first live Shabbat teaching we were watching, I felt some kind of way at first because of Pastor's strong voice. But, hallelujah, I was able to put my feelings to the side and listen. At that point, I knew Pastor Charles Dow Jr. was our pastor. He is teaching the word in such truth that the word really came to life. After the first week and watching as many other videos of pastors that we could, my master came to tell me that he was no longer going to be using marijuana. I was disappointed that he was never going to use marijuana again. However, he did not tell me to stop or that I couldn't use it anymore. I had been using marijuana since I was 13, and I was 40 at that time, last September. I was a daily user, usually multiple times a day, and had been using it more and more over time. I had actually resolved myself to being a lifelong user of marijuana and thought that that was what I truly wanted, but it was not. I began to be strongly convicted to put marijuana away and not to have anything to do with it anymore. All glory be to Yah. I was able to put it down. I didn't make excuses to just finish what I had left or just one more time, which I normally would have done back then. That was truly Yah, because I had never been able to put it away for good. Still, to this day, I do not desire it or have any kind of craving for it, and I understand now all of the excuses I used to make for it being good. As we continue to learn from Pastor, I heard him speak of deliverance, and I had no idea that I had no idea what it was at the first time. When following GOCC, they did not teach anything about deliverance. They also taught against being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Later, the Ruach revealed to me that I accepted that teaching because it was what I wanted to hear because I did not have the gift of speaking in tongues. By November, my master had made the decision that we were going to move to Tennessee. We needed to be closer to the saints for receiving deliverance and being able to be not only hearers of the word, but doers. Also to be corrected and rebuked. Iron sharpens iron. Yah had made a way for us to move, and in May, we lived in Tennessee. Pastor is truly a Jeremiah 3:15 pastor. I know this through and through. You cannot convince me otherwise. In the year or so that I have been following Pastor and listening to his teaching and sister-to-sister broadcast, there has not been one teaching or video or broadcast that I have not learned from, been edified by, or gained more understanding of Yah's word. I have learned more in the last year than I ever did in the 6 years following GOCC. At Pentecost this year, I was baptized, and in July, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I have learned my role, and I am striving to be perfectly in it. Still have much to learn and know that Yah bringing us to Straightway because it wasn't us. I will learn everything I need through him. Thank you, Pastor Dow, and all of the saints who have and are continuing to build up Straightway. It is a true joy to me to be able to serve and help all of you whenever I am able. This is all the work of Yah. Hallelujah. Thank you for bringing us to Straightway. That's it, Sister Ashley.
27 years. There's a small majority of our listening audience that's not even 27 years old. That's powerful. That's wonderful. That's the type of life transformation that I can honor and glorify our Father for doing that for you, because you know you couldn't do it of your own. That's how he makes himself real to us, you know? It's beautiful. Any words to say about it, Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I love the point that she made about no excuses, removing the excuses, and that is exactly what Straightway does. Straightway removes all excuses. And so, like she said, at the end of the day, when I removed excuses, you know, it was me that had to make the decision, and I had to take the action and to actually walk away, even though Yah helped her, but she still had to do it and remove every single excuse. And then she realized that all the excuses that she had made were just nothing. They were absolutely nothing. So, hallelujah. This is a very refreshing and encouraging testimony, and I'm extremely excited for this sister. Sister Ashley.
Yes, yes. Let's build our dialogue here. Y'all go with me. Let's talk about Joshua. Joshua 24, I'm going to go to verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear Yahweh, serve him in sincerity and truth." Now imagine this man speaking to all of Israel,
and he is asking them a request, okay? Know Yah like I know Yah. And how is that, Joshua? Fear Yah, serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve Yah. And if it seem evil to you to serve Yahweh, stop, pause. If it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, Joshua said, wow, that's pretty interesting. Good for nothing. That's what it means. If it seems like good for nothing, wow. He says, if it does seem like good for nothing, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served. But as for me, my house, we're going to serve Yahweh. Now imagine this multitude, just as we now, Israel, is a multitude. And this multitude is listening, and they say, verse 16, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake Yahweh and serve other gods. So they had a verbal commitment, just like the records are being written of us today. Israel said, and the people said, and their hearts were this way, and they responded that way. It's all being written. The people answered, they said, God forbid. So I'm going to move through this to get to the point. Yahweh drove out before us all the people, the Amorites who dwelt in the land, etc. They saw all these mighty, mighty things. Verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve Yahweh, for he is a holy Yah. He's a jealous Yah. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake him and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after you have done no good. What do the people say to Joshua, verse 24? The Yahweh, our God, we will serve. His voice, we will obey. And that's interesting because at this time, you have Joshua that rose up, okay, and he's telling them to turn away from a path that they're going in and go a different direction. So I want you to depart from this, remove this, and reject this. And that's really our calling as saints, isn't it? Each one of you. Go another direction, depart from this, remove them, remove this, reject that. It's no different from the pattern of the multitude of people that were hearing the word in this day. Okay? And so the requirement for thousands of Israelites also was to put evil away from you. Put evil away. So you have put strange gods away. You have put evil away. Samuel rose up. He said, put strange gods away and prepare your hearts for Yahweh. Serve him. He'll deliver you. It's Samuel 7. And then Josiah rises up. In 2 Kings, he says, workers with familiar spirits and wizards and images and idols and all sorts of abominations, he put it all away that he might perform the words of the law. So he put it away and he put it away. The action of putting away something from you, daughters of Zion, is you doing it. So Ezra rose up. And that's where we're going, Mother Jennifer. Do you have any thoughts before I go to Ezra?
You know, Sister Ashley, when you briefly mentioned the putting away, and you know, I thought about how we deceive ourselves. You know, we don't believe that we have anything to put away. We don't believe that in our hearts or in our minds that we view Yahweh's ways as quote unquote good for nothing or as evil. And we walk around in such a deceptive state that our confessions, we can't even confess because we believe that we have nothing to confess. And so when your confession is not there, you can't be delivered. You can't be purged. You can't be set free because you believe in your mind that you're all good. Sister Ashley?
Very good. So it's much more easy for your heart to say, I serve Yah or good for nothing mentality than you would think. It's easier to be in agreement because of the rejection that you may have, you know, unconsciously. The responses that your heart might have when the word is being ministered to you, when change is in front of you, when you're supposed to manifest love and you can't. And so, Ezra, I'm gonna go through chapter 10 for a minute because I want you to, I guess, see how I read it, see if it applies, see if you read the same. You know, see if you really embrace this congregation as if it were you in it, you know. Ezra was praying and confessing, and he was weeping, and he was bowed down before Yah. And it says a very large crowd of men, women, and children were all gathered with him. And praying and confessing and weeping and bowed down before Yah, right there is not even your custom. It's not the custom of your flesh to get on your knees, to bow down and to weep to a Yah you can't see who hasn't done anything for you. So you're already more arrogant than the humility expressed here, so you already can't relate, you know. But to move forward, let's say you do understand what it's like to be bowed down and weeping and praying and confessing to Yah. The people also wept, and in my common English version, it says they wept in distress. I know what that is like. They wept in distress. Okay, then it says, this man rises up. He's a particular Jehaliel's son. Okay, it says who his family's from. He rises up and he says to Ezra, okay, now you just bowed down, you're weeping, you're in distress, you're just crying out to the Most High Yah. And you have to understand what's going on in the circumstance of how they're living at that time and the captivity and the oppressor and everything around them. And he rises up, he says to Ezra, we've been unfaithful to our God. Wait, why? How? By marrying foreign women from the neighboring peoples. Now, this entire chapter is about marrying foreign women. I'm not capitalizing on marrying foreign women because, honest truth, some of you are. Some of you are foreign women. Some of you are strange wives. That's not the capital. What I'm focused on is the righteous women that yearn for the Father, that want to see what is in them that is estranged. You know, what makes me a strange woman? What makes me a foreign woman? And it says, even now there is hope for Israel in spite of all this, in spite of what the men had done. He says there's hope. He said, let's make a covenant with our Yah that we would send away these wives and their children according to the advice of my master and to those who tremble at the commandment of our Yah. Let it be done according to this instruction. So pause for a second. This man is saying, I'm willing to initiate this in Israel, and it's painful. Putting away something that you love is painful. We got a woman who was in bondage to marijuana for 27 years. She had to put it away. So like I said, I'm not capitalizing on just the foreign women and the strange women. The things that are around you and in you and of you that should not be there, you put away. And it says, get up, verse 4, for it's your duty to deal with this matter. We will support you. Be strong and act. Like, do you have any idea what kind of emotion or feeling or thought might grip a man when he says, hey, let's make a covenant to our God to send away these women and children? Okay, get up. You do it. We'll support you. Be strong. Go forward. Get it done. Like, wow. So this large crowd of men and women and children of Israel, they're all intermingled. Who's going first? And it says, so Ezra got up, he made the leading priests, the Levites, all Israel, and he took a pledge, and they said, so it be done. I want to keep building to make a point here. And this is literally, it's all I got for the show. I'm just going to share this. I'm done. So y'all hang with me. Ezra got up from the area that he was in front of the Most High's house, and he went to a room, okay, Jehohanan's son. It doesn't matter. These names are the men that we don't know, but know that they were living and they were real and they were known, just like the person beside of you, the person you text, the person you call, the person on the screen or on the YouTube video, the person in Israel that you know. These are these people. All right, and he says he gets up from the area where he had spent the night. What did Ezra do? He didn't eat food. He didn't drink water. He was mourning because of the unfaithfulness of the exiles, the unfaithfulness of the intermingling, the plethora of gods brought from this place to this place, and everything changed, accepting the customs of another people. So he's in fasting. Guarantee everybody ain't fasting. Guarantee everybody ain't removing water from them. Everybody's not in mourning and prayer. Nope, they weren't then. They aren't now. Y'all understand? He says, an order was then circulated throughout Judah and Jerusalem that all the returned exiles should gather in Jerusalem. So this is a big calling to everybody. So all those who failed to appear within 3 days, you had 3 days to get your rear end, your donkey, and whatever you coming with to this meeting, mandated by the officials and the elders. And anybody who failed to do so would have all their property taken away. Well, I don't want to be controlled like that. You ain't going to tell me to tithe. Okay. You see where we're at? It says they would be separated from the congregation of the exiles. They would be separated. Okay, go your own way. Do your own thing. You know, as Pastor says, they take us on the chin for the things that we do and the customs that we keep. But it's laid out right here. It says, so within 3 days, all the people of Judah and Benjamin gathered in Jerusalem. Okay, it tells you it was the 20th day of the ninth month. So within 3 days, you got all these people that come. Watch this thing play out, especially if you were living it. If you were packing your bag and your mule, or you're going to it, or your husband was, or you were laid out, you were weeping because you don't have any of the Most High Yah's ways. You're trying to get back to him. You're trying to fight for it, right? It says, all the people sat in the area in front of God's house trembling because of this order. I mean, if you've ever been called forth to any kind of meeting, most of you haven't. I have. You sat in the, elders and elders while I was going to have a meeting. I promise you, I'm not eating and drinking until I go. That's me. I don't know what it's about. I don't know what I'm going to hear. But it's a fearful thing. And so then Ezra stood up and he says to them, bless you, our late and beloved forefather Ezra, for leading these men. You have been unfaithful by marrying foreign women and adding to Israel's guilt. Wow, so not only were, you know, all these acts and iniquity and things piled upon us, but now you're taking women that are foreign, okay? We can't look too much into it because we didn't live it. We don't know. So remember, I'm going to make another point, but it's just, but now make a confession to the Lord God of your ancestors and do his will. What is his will? For this sister who wrote the email, his will, you put this marijuana away from you. All right, here it says, what's his will, Ezra? Hey, we're listening to a man for the will of Yah? Yes, nothing new. Ezra, what do? You separate yourselves from the neighboring peoples and from the foreign wives. The whole assembly shouted. The whole assembly shouted. You ever heard our assembly shout? It's pretty loud, right? And we're not even half the number. It says, the whole assembly shouted in reply, Mother Jennifer. They said, yes, we must do as you have said. But there are many people, and it's the rainy season, and we can't continue to stand outside. Nor can this task be completed in a day or two, because there's so many of us have sinned in this matter. Okay, so they're saying we're going to do it, but it's their turn. They're pleading their case. So let our leaders represent the entire assembly and let all in our towns who have taken foreign wives come at appointed times, along with the elders and the judges of every town, until God's great anger at us on account of this matter be averted. Okay, so it's basically saying, give us a little bit more time. Let everybody have an opportunity to sit down with the elders and the judges of the town. We're going to do it. Appoint times to each person, each man. And then it says, only four men, I'm not going to read their names, only four people were assigned to support them and to get this accomplished. So it says that the returned exiles did it. Ezra the priest chose certain men, heads of families, each representing their family houses. Each of them were designated by name. It tells you when, right here's the account, when they did it, first day of the 10th month, they sat down to examine this entire matter. By the first day of the first month, they had come to the end of all the men who married foreign women. All right, one of the family priests, let me go on. They promised to send their wives away and their compensation offerings that they had for guilt of their family were, oh my goodness, y'all, this is a full chapter of names of guilty men. It's like some of these men were only written about because of their guilt. Not for their shame, right? Because we bear our own guilt, but by the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, we are cleansed. They gave their hands, verse 19. In the King James Version, it says, some of them had wives, some of them had children, but they gave their hands. Let me go to this verse. They gave their hands. Hold on. Ezra 10:19. Here it is. They gave their hands that they would put away their wives. What is given your hands? For you, sisters, is different. Yes, but these men were required. What's given your hands? Was it saying that if I don't do this, if I bear this guilt, you can have my hand? That's some kind of reputation and commitment right there, right? If I give you my hand, I give you my strength, my power, my name, my reputation, and my ability to work. You take my hand away from me. Was it just lifting your hand, raising your hand? I give you my hand because a hand was everything. It was a vow, a commitment, a shake. I don't know. But that's some kind of commitment to put this away from you. And when I think about this entire process, you know, how he said, hey, to the man who's leading it, be a good courage, you know, to Ezra fasting and mourning, to the time that transpired, you know, to the weight and the heaviness that came about Israel as they saw this and witnessed this as a people. Somebody was righteous. Somebody said, I'm not giving up my wives, you know, I'm not going to. I'm sure it all played out. People just chose their fate just like they do today. You know, but I want to bring up the put away process for tonight's conversation, Mother Jennifer, because Job said, if iniquity be in my hand, I put it far away. And Job said, if you return to the Almighty, you should put away iniquity far from your tabernacle. And David said, if his judgments are before me, I will not put away his statutes. That's even it. Wait a second. What are you saying, David? That's the, if you judge me. Y'all don't even know what judgment's like, right? Because you right now, you don't even believe you're being judged. You're just doing whatever you want to do, right? When your emotions are shaking, then you hit your knees. What did Pastor say? Everything that's shaken will be. I'm talking about sincere. David saying his judgments were right before me and I would not put away his statutes. I did not and I will not. It means I'll still love your commandments and your statutes no matter what judgment falls on me. I'll still love you. David said, put away from you a forward mouth and put away perverse lips. Put it far from you. So there's a putting away process where you're just shedding these things that are binding you and keeping you down. The word says, remove sorrow from your heart. Put evil away from your flesh. Jeremiah says, put away your abominations. Put them out of my sight. Then you shall remove. That's Jeremiah chapter 4. Then you shall remove. We're supposed to do this. I'm not laying down, Mother Jennifer, waiting on somebody to come do it for me. Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, it's already been done for us. You know, we've already been given power through the blood of the Messiah. And when you talk about putting away, you know, I think about how it required you to truly give up something that meant something to you, that truly is special to you in your own heart, whether it's good for you or bad for you. It's something that you value. So the putting away is required. And like you said, you are required to do it. No one's going to actually do it for you. And I think about Sabbath message when pastor said, you know, when will you stop acting like a strange woman? Or he said, stop acting like slaves. But, you know, we're talking about strange women. When will we stop acting like strange women and start living like free women, the way that we've been called to live, like free women, and the way that we've been raised in this society, in this world before the faith? It has really caused women to behave as strange women. You know, we've been taught the customs of another people, and you've been taught all these things that are just not good for you, and so you have to put away every single thing that you've been taught as a strange woman. You've been taught by strange women, and they were taught by strange women, and they were taught by strange women, and so it's a curse that just continues. But when you come this way, Yah gives you everything. He gives you all the tools to be able to purge that and to put those things away so that you can stop acting like a strange woman and start living like free women. You know, the word tells us to seek the old paths. And like pastor says, how many of us really do, how many of us do that? How many of us pray for the old paths and really seek them? You know, how many are afraid to give up the comforts that we've been given, you know, just because we're at ease right now in this particular place where we are? So the putting away is not going to be something that is going to be, it's not going to put you at ease at all, but you will have freedom. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I warn you of comforts, my sister. I warn you all of comforts. The moment you get comfortable, it's like, how does the straight way get more straight? How does it really? It's by introducing more truth and more word to bind your mind to a straighter path than the one you're walking now. How do you choose a broader way? By not accepting the word that's being introduced into your straight path. You go the way you want to go. Now Ezekiel rose up. A new heart and a new spirit I'm going to give you. I'm going to take away the stony heart, Yah say. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And so by his mercy and by his allowance, are we even able to transform? And that's why the Most High is the most rejected. Because so many say, I'm not going to transform. I'm not going to let you change me. Because you put limitations on your Yah, and you put impossibilities in front of them. And I marvel at so many impossibilities that you have in front of you. So many things in front of you that you think you can't do, and it's so hard for you. But no one says, Yah, you do it. You know, well, how do I put it away? Just deny yourself. How do I put it away? Desire it to go until you see it go. You know? Ezekiel said, let them put away their whoredoms so that I'll dwell in their midst forever. Paul said, put away from among you the wicked person. I believe in that. Is there wicked or evil or, you know, contention or warnings or things going on? Yes, but for me, I put it away. And Pastor comes with the same mind and same voice as the ancients, as you know, each man that I call tonight. And he says, you know, you do this and you do this and you're responsible for putting away. And I'm telling you, his voice is going to get so powerful. It's going to get so offensive in the end. There's not going to be many that hear a shepherd. He's going to introduce even more of a straight way. He's going to talk it even more, with more of a sword, with more of a flame. That's why it's so important to deal with the burning pains of his voice inside of you, the things that he shocks your conscience with, the things that Yah sends forth his word to devour, to purge and to press out of you. Deal with it as you hear it. Because if you don't, it's going to come back around to destroy you. You're going to manifest flesh. You're going to flee. You're going to leave. You're going to cut a fool. You say you're committed. You got all this verbiage. But in your heart and on your knees, you're not producing the fruit of Yah. You're a strange woman. You're saying, I don't know this Yah. You're saying it's evil to serve him. What's the good? What's the good in it for me to change? What do I get out of it? And why don't she do this? And it's real fearful. Men were responsible for putting women away that I know some of them had a heart for, that they cared for, that they loved for, that they had children for. That's a huge responsibility. These women that they put away had hearts, feelings, children, excuses, strange gods. I mean, I don't know all their names, but as time, it repeats itself and repeats itself. You see all these people right beside you, women coming and going, leaving their husbands, can't stand, can't make a change for Yah. You're strange anyway. I don't expect women to hear this. I don't expect you to stand. It's the same manifestation happening now as then. Just a different time, you know, different names. The rejection of the law, the rejection of following our leader, the rejection of this, the rejection of that. He talked to me this kind of way, and I know him different than you, and don't you see him for who he is, and he won't be a father to my, and all these excuses. It's really sad because you're just saying, I'm not going to love you more than that, Yahweh. You've put an evil thing in front of me. Mother Jennifer.
And you know, Sister Ashley, a lot of times, women make the mistake of peering into someone else's life, peering into another woman's life, and thinking that they know the ins and outs of that particular sister's life. You know, and when you're looking at somebody else's life, then you become to the point where you are unsettled. You refuse to be content. You know, you're wondering, like you said, what good is it? You know, why do I have to do this? And this is not required of her. And so it really is a lack of being content with the life that Yah has given you. And you think you have someone else's life completely figured out, but you really don't. And I wanted to talk about in Zechariah, because Sister Ashley, you brought up the stony heart, and Zechariah talked about the same thing. It says, you know, they refused to hearken, and they pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. They made their hearts as an adamant stone. You know, and I have to stop right there, adamant stone. And, you know, when I think about the word adamant, you know, that's somebody that is truly refusing to be persuaded. You know, a person who is adamant, they form their own opinion, or they've taken a position that's really not going to change because they're determined to keep their own position or their own opinion. And there's nothing that is going to move that at all. So when you're dealing with a stony heart, a heart made of adamant stone, that's a really dangerous place to be. It truly is. And you can't walk around in a deceived state and think that you are going to be able to break through a stony heart. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. And the way that we get so stubborn in how we're thinking while we're just waiting on Yah to judge on our behalf is very, very lofty. Romans 9. I'm not going to go into the background of Rebecca or Sarah or Isaac or any of that, but it begins to talk a little bit about Abraham's children. In verse 11, it says, when they hadn't been born yet, when they hadn't yet done anything good or bad, it was shown that God's purpose would continue. Now, pause for a second. Do you really care about Abraham's descendants? No. You didn't know them. Do you care about Sarah or Rebecca or Isaac? No. You know? Not if you're not really knitted into Yah. You know? So admit that. Like, it means nothing to me, Father. I want it to. You know, you got to start somewhere. It means nothing to, but go with me. That's not offensive. That's just showing you where you're at. Like Pastor says, sit down, shut up, and learn something. Right? I did. Watch. He says in the Word, as it is written, I love Jacob, but I hated Esau. I'm going to go back on verse 12. It says, it wasn't because of what was done, but because of God's call that this was said to her. All right, so we're talking about being said to Sarah. It says, the older child will be a slave to the younger one. Okay, that makes no sense to us, but what if you were living it? What if you were mama, right, or handmaiden, or involved, right? It's very intimate. And it says, verse 14, what are we going to say? Isn't this unfair on God's part? Paul says, absolutely not. Wouldn't it seem unfair, women? Oh, the older child's going to be a slave to the younger one. Because we don't keep the custom of the priority of the heritage or the inheritance going to the firstborn. It might not mean anything to us. But then, this is everything. This is people saying, wait a second. You know, this seems evil to me. Verse 15 says, he says to Moshe, I'll have mercy on whoever I choose to have mercy. And I'll show compassion on whoever I choose to show compassion. And Mother Jennifer, that's so fearful to me. That's the sovereignty of Yah. And it says, so then it doesn't depend on a person's desire or effort. It depends entirely on God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I have put you in this position for this very thing so that I can show my power in you and so that my name can be spread throughout the entire earth. Y'all remember what happened to Pharaoh, right? He was allowed to be hardened. Pharaoh hardened his heart, but he was allowed that. Yah can break anybody's pride. But he has a purpose. And so it says, so then God had mercy on whoever he wants to, but he makes resistant whoever he wants to. Y'all hear that? He makes resistant whoever he wants to. That's amazing. For the righteous women that are listening, wow, that should just wake you up. That should wake you up. People see how they see because he allows. People hear how they hear because he allows. People are blinded because he allows. You're blinded because he allows. You're hardened because he allows. And the more resistance that you have, he'll let it give it to you. It says, so you are going to say to me, then why does he still blame people? Who has he ever resisted his will? Who has ever resisted his will? Talking about the Father. Who has ever resisted his will? It says, you are only a human being. Who do you think you are to talk back to God? Does the clay say to the potter, why did you make me like this? Doesn't the potter have the power over the clay to make one pot for special purposes and another for garbage out of the same lump of clay? For what if God very patiently puts up with pots made for wrath that were designed for destruction? I've seen that. Yah puts up with very patiently those that are destined to be destroyed because he wanted to show his wrath and make his power known. Wow. So we have a very intricate, very detailed Elohim. So when you think you're making decisions on your own, you know, you run into circumstances where women are, you know, you find difficulties throughout your journey. you know, it's difficult to love this person, or it's difficult to give this up, or just even from the beginning, you know, I need to stop calling my mother. I need to dress this way. I know I do, but I can't. It's hard. All this stuff. Put it away from you. He's not going to do it. And you need to know our Yah like that. You need to look back or think and consider and meditate upon the hundreds of thousands of Israelites, even those who were transported here, stacked on top of each other in ships, that had pain and emotions and hearts and tears. And you're holding on to what? Who are you? To resist an almighty Yah and not be broken by him. Because, well, my man might love another woman more. Man, so much resistance in polygyny. And if you continue to suppress your resistance in the truth of Yah's way, it's going to get so straight and so narrow, you're not going to be ready for what's coming. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, it's really a dangerous place when you have in your own heart, in your own mind, decided what is quote-unquote fair or what is unfair, you know, or what should be allowed and what should not be allowed, because you put yourself in the seat of Yah, you know, telling him what should be allowed and what should not be allowed, and you secretly accuse him of being unjust. And so this is why it is so important to always look at yourself, always consider yourself, because there's so many who are seeking judgment of somebody else, but Yah can't even come in and judge a situation because you haven't even gotten yourself right. You know, you are in such a foul position because you've placed yourself, you've tried to put yourself in his seat. You're accusing him. And so he can't even be your advocate if you've even done that. So we have to let go of what we think in our minds is right or not right or just and not just. Remember, he said that, you know, my thoughts are higher and my ways are higher. He does not think the way that we do. We have to conform our thoughts and our hearts to him. It's not the other way around. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. What else can you say? You know, sometimes you wonder what the listening audience is getting out of it. You know, how are they applying it? I don't wonder as if there's an expectation, because Yah is doing what he wants when he wants it. And I marvel at his sovereignty. I marvel at how hard-hearted and how stiff-necked women can be pretending, just how long you can go pretending. I don't know what it's going to take to break you, but Yah does. And it's coming. Without a shadow of doubt, it's coming. I mean, Yah is a master molder, a destroyer, an uplifter, an encourager, a comforter, an annihilator. He's everything. And it's not a new pattern to see strange women walk away that were not his already. He was supportive of a man standing up before the congregation and saying, get these women away. That's an answer that they got in prayer on their face, bowed before heaven. We're seeking your face, that you have mercy on us, that you will move on our behalf, that you will guard us, watch over us. This is our situation. We're in exile here. We're surrounded by our enemies. Okay, you want me to be your Yah? Put these women out. And for our circumstances, the same thing. You want me to be your Yah? Let this go. Let this go. And then even then it was like the men were like, oh, you got 3 days. That's the account. You got 3 days. The only reason they gave them a little bit of mercy is because it's raining and you got to go get them women. We got to do this right. Are we going to do it in front of the elders and the town and the judges and all that? Because you Israelite, we're going to do this in honor. It's not just Oh, yeah, you never talk to her again. No, you're going to do this in the open with your vow and your commitment, and this is how it's going to be. And so I marvel at, hey, well, I need, I'm trying to change, and I'm not saying I'm trying. Just don't let I'm trying be your excuse. You know, how long do you try? If the commitment was you got 3 days, or when this rainy season's over, or I can flip open my Hebrew calendar, I'm going to go to January 3rd, and I'm going to say, by this day, I'm going to be done with this. Can you say that? I give my right hand. When I'm going to lay this spirit right here I'm dealing with, this mindset right here, I ain't picking it back up. I'm going to fight it so hard till January 3rd, January. You know, that's the kind of word commitment. You say, well, we're just women. How do we, nobody is going to manifest any kind of strength for you. It's either in you or not. No one else is going to pump weights for you and make you stronger. I'm going to put this away. I'm going to change. And I know this talk helps because we are so dependent that we're dependent on someone else to do it. You get it? We've like gone too far. So you lean your dependency completely on him and you say this is bigger and this is greater and it don't matter. Ain't no pride in me that says, well, I should be over this and why am I tripping about this and why am I crying about this and why? Now, all them questions, you just take it to the Father. He's all you got. If he ain't made himself real to you, it's coming. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
You know, Daughters of Zion, remember that if your sister, if she is in a fault, you have to remember to restore her in meekness. Don't be prideful, but really restore her in a spirit of meekness and really consider yourself that you don't fall into that same temptation. So we have to manifest a spirit of love and a spirit of meekness and remember that the Most High Yah is there. The work has been done for us, but we have to do our part. Sister Ashley.
Bless y'all. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week. I pray the Most High Yah bring us back together again next week. If it be his will, indeed he will. Hallelujah. Stay on your knees, my sisters. Lift one another up. Encourage one another. Please try this week not to sass or be a smart mouth or misrepresent the kingdom of Yah that dwells inside of you. Please represent Christ the Messiah. He's deserving. Hallelujah. Put this estranged behavior far from you this week. All right? One small day at a time. Bless y'all. Love you dearly. Shalom.